After a jury found big pharmacy chains played a role in the opioid epidemic, the drugstores have been ordered to pay big. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, we have an inflation problem. We have a business and consumer confidence challenge, but hiring here in late summer is still looking strong. Today, the regular tally of people signing up for unemployment benefits after losing a job remains stable for the week that ended on Saturday. On Thursdays, we consult Diane Swonk, now the chief economist at the audit, tax, and advisory firm KPMG, with this new sign that hiring remains strong.
Exactly. Unemployment claims are very low, and those people who do get unemployed are able to find jobs still quickly, which is good news. There's a lot of churn in the labor market. That good news is a bit of a difficult situation for the Federal Reserve because we see prime-age labor force is 3 million below what the trend growth rate was prior to the pandemic. That's huge. That's a slowdown in the growth of the supply of workers from what we had pre-pandemic. At the same time, we're 3.5 million above where we were on demand prior to the pandemic. That's a 6.5 million person shortfall. And that gap is something the Fed is trying to close. And it underscores why the Fed feels there are such imbalances out there.
Diane Swonk at KPMG. Now, a federal judge in Ohio has ordered CVS, Walgreens, and Walmart to pay $650 million in damages to two counties which had sued over the dispensing of opioid painkillers. This is the first opioid trial for pharmacy chains. 500,000 Americans have died in the painkiller epidemic. Marketplace's Nova Safo joins me now.
Yeah, a jury ruled against the pharmacies last November, David, and it was up to the presiding judge in the case to decide how much the pharmacies must pay in damages. And he ruled that Lake County, which is east of Cleveland, will get $306 million over 15 years, and Trumbull County, which is farther south near Youngstown, will get $344 million. This was an important case because it was the first of the opioid lawsuits to go to a jury trial instead of judges deciding. Governments have had a mixed record in front of judges. The pharmacy companies were very critical about this case. They said they were filling regulated legal prescriptions, and all three companies plan to appeal.
What will the two Ohio counties do with the award money if upheld?
Well, the counties argued that they need the money to fight opioid and related heroin addiction in their communities. They put the total cost of that battle at $3.3 billion. And the judge's ruling is that $650 million is the portion of the bill that pharmacies should pay. Now, remember that there are others involved in lawsuits, too. Drug makers, distributors, and the pharmacy chains themselves face other lawsuits as well, David.
All right. That's Nova Safo. Thank you.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
The UN is saying this sharp spike in food prices could be reaching a peak globally, yet the effects of Russia's war in Ukraine on world food supplies have already left some lower-income countries in crisis. Production of staples like wheat, corn, and soybean are under threat because of the high prices of farm inputs like fertilizer and fuel. The BBC's Sarah Adam reports from Tanzania.
Losim Lazaro is a tomato farmer in Arusha, North Tanzania. He applies his fertilizer on his 5-acre piece of land. But like many other farmers in Tanzania, he is facing a fertilizer shortage.
It has become more expensive for me to produce tomato now. And the market price of tomatoes is still the same. Yes, I'm trying to get 1,000 boxes per acre. If I'm short of fertilizers, I might get around 500 boxes to 600 boxes per acre.
Tanzania relies on fertilizer from Russia and China, the two leading global manufacturers. As a result of the current sanction on Russia, the amount of fertilizer available has been halved. Small farmers across the country are turning to the Minjingu Mines and Fertilizer Company. They are one of the biggest fertilizer manufacturers in Tanzania. They're experiencing a sudden increase in demand and are struggling to fill orders. And Director Toski Han says they are also unable to increase their capacity due to heavy taxes.
The main challenge we have is we don't have a fair level play ground vis-a-vis with the importers who import fertilizer. You see, the manufacturers locally have to pay a lot of taxes. And where the importers, you know, they have no duty to pay, they have no other, you know, taxes to be paid, whereas we as local manufacturers have huge taxes to be paid.
A global non-governmental organization that promotes green solutions in Africa, AGRA, has suggestions on how Tanzania can become self-sufficient. Viani Rendelas is AGRA's country manager in Tanzania.
In the longer term, you need to attract investors and give them concessions and make sure that we get these things locally, because dependence on import would have such adverse issues when such shocks would arise.
Tanzania farmers are dependent on subsidized fertilizer from the government, but it is distributed sporadically. The Tanzania Fertilizer Regulatory Authority has been trying to find a solution. Africa is a long way from breaking its dependence on foreign imports of this vital product. African companies are in the process of upscaling production, but this is still short of the amount required to fulfill the needs of the agricultural sector. In Tanzania, I am the BBC's Sarah Adam for Marketplace.
And the following reads like an April Fool's story, but I triple-checked and it's well-sourced. The Japanese government has started a campaign to get young people drinking alcohol again. Younger Japanese people are less into alcohol and tapered off further during pandemic. The government interest in quelling this concerning wave of sobriety: when people drink less, they pay less tax on alcohol. Sake Viva, sake, the fermented rice drink. Sake Viva is a contest that asks for business ideas to gin up interest in tippling. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.